Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University.
Thank you. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your judgments are like the great deep.
How precious is your steadfast love, O God! All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light.
Come, let us set out in the light of the Lord.
Day and night, the weight of our sins presses heavy upon us. Our hope is dried up as by the heat of a summer day. If we acknowledge our sins and reveal our iniquity to God, we will no longer waste away. There is no deceit in God. Let us rid ourselves of the heaviness of sin. God will not reject our prayer. Let us in faith make our confession, saying together, Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget. Cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to Thee, confessing our faults, confiding in Thy grace, and finding in Thee our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Who is there to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else will be able to separate us from God's love. This is forgiveness. Sin holds no sway over us. We are indeed forgiven, made to set out in hope. Let us praise now our God in song, by singing together the hymn, Christ Whose Glory Fills the Skies, hymn number 41, found at the end of your online worship bulletin.
Christ whose glory fills the skies, Christ the true, the only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. Day spring from on high beneath, day star in my heart appear. Dark and cheerless is the morn, unaccompanied by thee. Joyless is the day's return, till thy mercy's beams I see, till they inward light impart, glad my eyes and warm my heart. Visit then this soul of mine, pierce the gloom of sin and grief, fill me radiancy divine, scatter all my unbelief, more and more thyself display, shining to the perfect day.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Stephanie Paul Sill, the interim minister of the Memorial Church, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to Sunday worship. Whether you join us every Sunday or are joining us for the first time, please know that you are very welcome here. If you'd like to follow along with the liturgy and the hymns, you can find a bulletin on our website, www.memorialchurch.harvard.edu. The service this morning is led by Alana Sullivan, our associate minister, and Wes Kahn, our ministry fellow. Maggie Beezer, class of 2020, student in the Harvard Medical School and member of our student advisory board, reads the first lesson, and Liam Simons, class of 2021 and member of our student advisory board,
reads the second. Ed Jones, Gund University organist and choir master, leads us in the hymns. And David von Baron, our associate organist and choir master, plays the prelude and postlude from First Plymouth Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. The offertory and anthem are taken from the Harvard University Choir's 2011 CD, Glorious the Song. Many thanks to all who have helped to create this hour of worship. We're so fortunate to have with us as our preacher this morning, Melissa Wood Bartholomew, the Associate Dean for Diversity, Inclusion, and Belonging at Harvard Divinity School. Melissa brings her experience in ministry, law, mediation, and social work to bear on her ministry of racial justice and healing. As a doctoral student in social work at Boston College, Melissa studies the impact of racism, incarceration, and other systems of oppression on the mental health of African Americans and the role of spirituality in their resilience. As a student at the Divinity School, she is MDiv Class of 2015. She had a tremendous impact on our community, co-founding the Racial Justice and Healing Initiative Student Group. She has returned at a crucial moment in history to continue and deepen that work, helping us turn as an institution, as teachers, as students, as staff, more deliberately toward each other and to the work of justice. It is a great pleasure to welcome her to our virtual pulpit in the Memorial Church, and we look forward to the day when we can hear her speak from the pulpit in the sanctuary. We invite you to check out our website for more information about our virtual programs, our Student Deacon Program, our weekly fellowship in Mem Cafe, our monthly Practicing Hope book group, our Instagram Live series on Thursday evenings, our Sunday school, and our daily newsletter. We hope to see many of you in the coming weeks in these virtual spaces. It has been a difficult week as the United States surpassed 200,000 deaths from COVID-19, and as we received the news from Louisville that no one would be held responsible or accountable for the death of Breonna Taylor, a young African-American woman who was shot to death by police in her own home while she slept. These losses are unbearable, and they remind us that communities of color are bearing disproportionately the burden of illness and police violence in this country. There is much to mourn in these days. And as we arrive at the moment in which we pass the peace of Christ to one another, I invite us all to sit for a moment with each other's grief and offering peace to all who are in anguish in these days. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Our offering this morning goes to the work of the Memorial Church Grants Committee, which funds projects of local organizations, meal programs, tutoring programs, renovation projects in local shelters, support for families in need. Sharing our resources with these grassroots organizations, who understand so well the needs of their communities and work so hard to meet them, is another way of passing the peace of Christ. There is a donate button at the top right-hand corner of our homepage where you may leave your gift. Let us, with gladness, present the offerings of our life and labor to God.
Thank you. A reading from the Book of Psalms, Psalm 44, beginning at the first verse. To the leader of the Korahites, a maskil. We have heard with our ears, O God, our ancestors have told us, what deeds you performed in their days, in the days of old. You with your own hand drove out the nations, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples, but them you set free. For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor did their own arm give them victory, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance, for you delighted in them. Here ends the lesson.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, beginning at the 35th verse. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray. Holy One, you have knit your people into a great reimagining of purpose and life. You call us by your mercy and claim us with your truth. Even in these days of protest and pandemic, show us what it means that you are Creator, Christ, and Comforter. Show us how to believe that you made each of us in your image. Show us what it means that even now, your kingdom is breaking into this world. Even in these days, show us how to sing and praise and pray to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O merciful one, abide with us today as so many of us are still devastated by the news of the grand jury decision in the Breonna Taylor case. There are no words to express our dread and rage and mourning. Another Black person killed by police, and still no justice. There is no understanding of these senseless acts of violence. We, your children, find no safety in a system that is meant to commodify our very souls. We find no love in a system built upon hatred and fear. Open our hearts to the sorrow that pours out of our Black brothers and sisters who know their worth, yet still suffer at the hands of racism. Spirit of Justice, we pray for the day when your light pierces through, that the law of justice smothers the breath of racism that still breathes its foul and cantankerous breath into this country. Let the demon that inhabits the spirit of all who hate be exposed and contained and destroyed, so that it may never possess another person. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Christ, you call us to follow you. Yet as we go through these days, it is hard to believe that where we are headed is somewhere good. Remind us of the ways that we shape the path we follow. Teach us how to follow you. Make yourself known to us. Make yourself known to those fighting and fleeing wildfires on the west coast of the United States. Be with those who are living with the aftermath of the devastating flames and red skies of smoke. Make yourself known to those grappling with COVID-19, whether they are at home or in hospital beds, prison cells, or nursing homes. We give thanks for those within the African Union and New Zealand and other places where communities are collectively and compassionately working so well to contain and curtail the virus in their midst. We pray for guidance for those in the United States and India and Brazil and Mexico as we are all grappling with severely high mortality rates. This week, our hearts break as the United States passes 200,000 deaths. We also uplift the family and colleagues of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg after her death last week. Shower mercy upon all those who grieve. Be with us in our present moments. Reveal yourself in ways that we might taste and touch and see and hear and know you deep within our bones. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you are the source of all truth and wisdom, who knows and loves all of creation. Watch over our nation as we approach our election time. We are teetering on the edge and anxious to know whether this arc bends towards justice or chaos. May truth prevail over distortion, wisdom triumph over recklessness, and may the concerns of every vulnerable person be heard. Christ, who chose the way of the cross, help us not to turn our backs on those who are in need. Help us to support policies that sustain the poor, the neglected, and the frightened people of this world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Source of love and life, we are living in a world that is in such deep need of your healing power. Although it may seem that there is little we can do to make a difference, help us to start now, even if it is with just one step. Teach us to find ways to nurture and help those who need your healing. Grant us the wisdom to find a way to be your body in this broken and hurting world. While we may feel that we can never do enough, help us to do what we can with what little time we have here on this earth. Help us to recognize that we will never be perfect. Teach us that by even doing the smallest acts, we are spreading your love to your dearest children who need it the most. We pray these things because you have come among us as human, Word made flesh, as God with us. In Christ, we have been shown the kindness of your touch, the fierceness of your grace, the perseverance of your covenant, the power of your peace. How glorious it is to rise in your grace, to pray your name, and to rest in your spirit. Amen. And will you please join in saying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please pray with me. Dear God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. This past May, I lost my 99-year-old grandfather, Reverend Marcus Garvey Wood. He transitioned after laboring in ministry as a Baptist pastor for many years in Baltimore. And he was one of my earliest and most formative teachers of justice. Thankfully, he didn't have the coronavirus. He had just reached the end of his journey. The last time I saw him in person was in January. I was in town for a conference and had spoken on a panel regarding the work of eradicating racism. At the close of my presentation, I talked about my grandfather's formerly enslaved grandmother, Susan. Susan was still alive when he was a child. She always talked to him about how much she loved her husband Moses and about how much she loved God, She and Moses believed in Jesus, and my grandfather learned powerful lessons about faith and the love of Christ while sitting at her knee. He shared these lessons in the book he wrote about his faith and ministry journey entitled, And Grace Will Lead Me Home. I have learned so much about the faith of my enslaved ancestors through him. So I told the group at the conference that as I engage in anti-racism work and get weary while moving through racism every day, I call on my ancestors' strength and power and faith and love that they passed down through the generations in our family. It's all a reminder that we have the capacity to endure unspeakable challenges through our divinity. The fact that my enslaved grandparents could maintain the strength and commitment to love God and each other keeps me going. So I shared this with my grandfather on my visit with him, and his eyes lit up as he looked at me and said, "Oh yeah, that's right, because there's so much we don't know. There's so much that we don't know." This struck me. How does a man who has lived almost 100 years, who began preaching the gospel as a teenager, traveled all around the world, and was a seminary classmate of Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr., believe at the end of his life that there is still so much that he doesn't know? Something broke open in me that day. His words have never left me. They resonate with me even more strongly now that he is with the ancestors. In the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic and the unrelenting racism, the pandemic we've been fighting since my ancestors arrived from the west coast of Africa, I'm reminded that there is so much that we don't know. What my grandfather and my enslaved ancestors are telling me in this contemporary moment is that there is more to uncover about their capacity to resist and to transcend the world's practices of dehumanizing hatred and evil while remaining rooted and grounded in love. This was the way of so many of the enslaved. In his book, Jesus and the Disinherited, 20th century theologian Howard Thurman shares the affirming lessons he received from his formerly enslaved grandmother. She relayed the message that the slave minister preached to her and others on the plantation, the reminder that they were not slaves, they were children of God, a message Thurman said established for them the ground of personal dignity and personal worth. This message, that we are children of God, reminds us that we are children of a great love, because as we are told in 1 John, God is love. This message of the capacity of my ancestors to resist hate through love was not new. I've written about it. I try to practice it as consistently as possible. But last June, about a month after my grandfather transitioned, a new layer of understanding was revealed. I had the privilege of hearing Professor Stephanie Paulzel give a talk about the theologian monk Thomas Merton and his writing, Solitude is Not Separation. As I listened to her talk about Merton and his reflections on how distance enables us to see the humanity and dignity in others, the Holy Spirit overwhelmed me with an insight about the impact of COVID and our forced social distancing. Like many people, I knew that the global Black Lives Matter protests and calls for racial justice that had emerged with such intensity following the death of George Floyd were different than the reactions that followed the police killings of so many other unarmed Black people in this country. More white people were taking to the streets and calling for racial justice. Corporations were embracing Black Lives Matter and making statements about anti-racism. I knew that COVID was a factor. As Professor Paulzel shared Merton's insights on solitude and distance, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. This is what Americans needed to be able to see the humanity of Black people. This is what Americans needed to be able to see the humanity of Black people. While we're physically together, some of us are practicing spiritual distancing, either consciously or subconsciously, particularly from those characterized as others. Racism animates the spirit, the spiritual distancing, and then all kinds of things get in the way. That spiritual distancing can translate into distance from themselves and from God and from love. Distance from God can distort one's perception of the other and make one susceptible to the believing of the lie that Black people are less than human. Perhaps the forced COVID-induced social distancing and the solitude it's generating was doing what Merton believes solitude was for. He contends the only justification for a life of deliberate solitude is the conviction that it will help you to love not only God, but also other men. My realization that perhaps some white people needed this distance from Black people in order to see our humanity literally brought me to tears. What my grandparents' way of being illuminates for me is the power of living with intention to cultivate a quality of connection to God where there is no separation, where the toxins from the world do not create distortions and distance. In today's scripture reading from the book of Romans, Paul reminds us that there is no force strong enough to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. He asks, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" No, in all these things, Paul writes, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. There is no power, Paul exclaims, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation that will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Struggle and suffering do not separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Struggle and suffering on and off the plantation did not separate my enslaved grandmother from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. In his memoir, Walking with the Wind, the late civil rights warrior John Lewis, who also studied Thomas Merton, describes how the teachings he learned about nonviolence as a young man brought his understanding of the Bible, Christ's redeeming love, and the role of suffering into sharper focus. He says, "Suffering can be nothing more than a sad and sorry thing without the presence on the part of the sufferer of a graceful heart, an accepting and open heart, a heart that holds no malice toward the inflictors of his or her suffering." He says, it has everything to do with the way of nonviolence. We are talking about love here, he says, not romantic love, not the love of one individual for another, not loving something that is lovely to you. This is a broader, deeper, more all-encompassing love. It is a love that accepts and embraces the hateful and the hurtful. The suffering that Lewis endured fighting for racial justice all of his life did not create distance between him and God. It did not keep him from living into the love of Christ that is always present. Love, whatever source one attributes it to, transforms your way of being and your way of doing justice in the world. As a student at Harvard Divinity School a number of years ago, during the early stages of the Black Lives Matter movement, following the killing of Michael Brown and when many of us were engaged in protests and die-ins with students across Harvard and all throughout the Cambridge-Boston area, a popular rallying cry was, "Hands up, don't shoot. Hands up, don't shoot." But some of us from the Div School began articulating a different cry. Hands up, hearts open. Hands up, hearts open. Because we had rooted our anti-racism work in love. Remaining grounded in love and resisting separation from God and others requires a daily commitment to seek God first, as Scripture reminds us. It requires following the example of Jesus and taking time to be alone each day. My personal practices of meditation and prayer, scriptural study and reflection, and other ways that I spend time alone with God, help me to firmly resist the tendency towards separation from God and others, even when I am angry and frustrated in this world where racism and anti-blackness are unrelenting. These practices help me to become more deeply embedded in the mind of Christ in order to cultivate Christ's consciousness and embody Christ's love. My grandfather modeled this way of being, an intentional connection to a transcendent God, which helped to ensure that his vision of justice did not become distorted. He was able to see humanity in all others, even his oppressors. Now, at this critical time, I know even more about the importance of never letting anything separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Embedded within my pursuit of racial justice and healing is my intentional time of separation so that I can be alone with God and ensure that nothing interferes with my ability to experience the full love of God in Christ that is always present and always available. Remaining tethered to Christ will help to ensure that I never fail to see the humanity in anyone, even those who may be my enemies. It will help to ensure that I pursue justice through love's enduring strength and not my own. This will keep me from developing a distorted view of justice and believing that anyone or group is unworthy of love or mercy or grace. And it will fortify my posture of openness and humility, ensuring I always remember, as my grandfather reminded me, that there is so much that I don't know. Amen.
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him King of glory now. 'Tis the Father's pleasure we should call him Lord, who from the beginning was the mighty Word. At his voice creation sprang at once to sight, all the angel faces, all the hosts of light, thrones and dominations, stars upon their way, all the heavenly orders in the great array, humbled for a season to receive a name from the lips of sinners unto whom he came. Faithfully he bore it, spotless to the last, brought it back victorious when from death he passed. In your hearts enthrone him, then let him subdue all that is not holy, all that is not true. Crown him as your captain in temptation's hour. Let his will enfold you in its might and power.
Dear friends, go forth committed to remaining rooted in the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, remembering the power of Christ's love to keep us connected to God and each other.
This has been Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University. Please join us again next week at 11 a.m. on WHRB 95.3 FM.